age. Like that's exactly.
You again for being here. I'm just pulling up the agenda for today. All right. So the time is 6:39 p.m. on Sunday, July 23rd. As president of the student assembly, I'm going to call this meeting to order. If the office assemblies would give us a roll call, I would appreciate that.
Marwa Bakri. Lucia Bellestrieri.
Present.
Yep, I thought so. Lizzie Barrett. Asatu Berry. Rocco DiLorenzo.
Here.
Karis Everett.
Present.
Niles Height.
Present.
Clyde Lederman.
Present.
Azugo Anonye.
Rocco has his proxy, and I forwarded that email to you.
Suraj Parikh.
I am voting in his proxy.
Casey Platkin. Imani Razaka. Andrew Richmond.
I am holding his proxy.
Noon Stellar Sun.
Here.
Andrew Talone.
He's present.
Benjamin Terhar. Claire Ting.
Patrick Hufer.
I'm holding her proxy.
Adam Vinson.
Present.
Amy Wong.
Here.
Patrick Cool.
Present.
I count 14 with proxies.
Lovely. Thank you for that. Now do the land acknowledgments. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono Cayuga Nation. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and these waters. With that, we will now move in to the third item on our agenda, open microphone. Are there any community members present who would like to speak at open microphone? Seeing none, I will move on to the fourth item on our agenda, the approval of the minutes from last week. I believe those should be in the box. If everyone could pull those up and take a couple minutes to read them over for any clerical errors. Again, this is transcribed from a recording and not in person, so it is possible that there are mistakes, and that is why we read them to correct them. And while we're doing this, Jessica, do you want this to be recorded for minutes?
I am recording it.
Yep. Oh, okay.
The recording also, so you all know, the recording also goes on the website for people who are not able to attend and for future reference. For the historical record. So it's not just for the minutes. That's why we ask that you speak up and you unmute yourself and that people are members are recognized when the chair calls them.
Thank you for that, Jessica.
I would like to approve last week's meeting minutes by unanimous consent.
All right, there's a motion on the floor from Representative Vice President DeLorenzo.
Second.
Seconded. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing no dissent, the minutes are passed unanimously. We will now be moving on to the consent calendar. There is no items on the consent calendar for this week, so we will be moving on to section 6, reports of officers, committees, and liaisons. Officers, do you have any reports?
Sort of.
Go ahead, Vice President De Lorenzo.
So this week I worked on the templates for the applications for the student activity fee. I included that in the box for this meeting, or like for this week's meeting. It's like this big Excel file. And the first page, it lists basically like all the requirements, and it breaks it down by template. And then it has like the templates numbered after. So feel free to take a look at that. I'm not going to go over it now, but me and Patrick, we're meeting with Carly and John on Tuesday to talk about it more. So yeah, just a quick update.
Lovely. Thank you, Vice President De Lorenzo. Archivist Kolinsky.
Thank you, President Kuhl. So quick update on Archivist Things. Basically, what I've done over the last couple of days is I'm working to develop essentially a library of resolutions so that everyone can sort through that information and find whatever they need much quicker than just going through all the PDFs and all the folders and stuff. I'm making this announcement now, because while I do have around 200 that I've done so far, I'm going to be reaching out to people who have sponsored resolutions either this year or last year to verify that the summaries and stuff that I'm creating is actually accurate. So if you were either part of the student assembly last year or have been sponsoring resolutions this year, I may be in contact with you on that.
Lovely. Thank you, Archivist Kolinsky. Office of the Assemblies, Jessica.
I might not understand what the archivist is doing, but I just want to point out, if I did understand correctly, the resolutions, all resolutions from all terms, are captured on the assembly website. Once you get a resolution to us, we do post it, and they are updated with motions and meetings for each term. Also, there's a way to go back and get them from previous terms. So I'm just going to put a link in the website. I'm not entirely sure that's what Jack was talking about, but I just want to make sure you're not wasting time doing work that's already being done.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually using that as the basis for what I'm doing. I'm essentially creating a tool that'll be a supplement to that. So for example, if someone wants to create a resolution about like natatoriums, but they weren't aware of the work that was done like 2 years ago, and they weren't sure exactly where to look on that, my hope is that I can create a database using the resolutions and the information in that. So if someone can just search up, oh, like, has there been anything on natatoriums in the past? Then they can see that, even if it's not explicitly listed in the title or something similar.
Okay. They are also, you can search on the page too as well, but
awesome.
Just want to make sure everyone's aware that the information is there.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you. And to all members, please wait to be recognized for future reference. All right. I have one report to make. I have, as many of you know, been working on an initiative to get bulletin boards up around campus to advertise student assembly activities and the different things that are going on, the different resolutions we pass. It looks like the first one of those bulletin boards will probably be going up in the Cal School, just because of the logistics of getting that done. They've been very quick to respond. So there will be a resolution coming up. If anybody would like to help me with that or be more involved in that initiative, please feel free to reach out. With that, and seeing that we have no committees currently operating, we will be moving on to the announcement section that does not have anything in it. And moving on to the presentation section, which does not have anything in it, and the old business calendar as well does not have anything in it. So we will be moving on to the resolutions calendar. We will start with resolution 9, amending the student assembly charter. This was presented over email last week, and therefore we will be voting on it today, as there's been ample time to review this document, and it does need to get passed, and thus why we have spent so much time trying to get everybody here. Thank you all again for being here. Vice President De Lorenzo, after you.
Sweet. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming today to help out pass this charter amendment. The charter amendments are a big pain, but I appreciate everyone coming and proxy voting and things like that. So the abstract of this is that it amends the current student assembly charter to allow mobility in addressing the current financial reporting completed by organizations as part of the student activity fee final application process. Additionally, it removes the requirement to submit a written final application to the Office of Assemblies and instructs orgs to bring 17 printed copies of their application to the meeting hearings when they occur. Lastly, this resolution adds a qualitative questions to the final application, which allows for the Appropriations Committee and the Assembly at large to better understand what each byline applicant does. So basically, the story behind this is after we passed Resolution 4, Camps Activities got back to us and they were like, hey, like we missed these things and we're looking to like fix the reporting part. And so then realizing this, we realized we had to make another charter amendment resolution. So, you know, in concerning those, the financial reporting metrics that were already in the charter, they wanted to see them change this year. But due to the timeline of when we could make these amendments, it became a challenge. So we kind of had to brainstorm a way around it. In this way, basically says that, in the charter, no Appendix A parts may be amended during the fall. So like during the first day of the fall, and it has to be set in place by that time. So then obviously with like the month lead up to the, you know, President Pollock and then approving it, we are kind of in a bind, but we found that to ensure the changes of reporting financial programming and organizational info are sorted out by the first day of the fall semester, it is necessary to amend lines 384 through 405 of the charter, Appendix A, guidelines for allocation of the student activity fee, Section 4 procedures. So whereas lines 384 through 405 will be struck from the current student assembly charter, and then be it therefore resolved, they'll be replaced with the following lines inserted at line 384 of the charter. So basically, this is the part about them bringing copies to the meetings. And then all the applicants have to fill out this info, which just goes over like the name, mission statement, meeting minutes, and then contact info and things like that. And then an eligibility checklist. And then requested dollar amount, students per year, description. So all of this is the same, essentially. This A, or like everything's the same from like IV or four all the way up until, four. Four is like exactly the same, copy and pasted, except we added in this part J down here about the qualitative question. So like, what is one struggle consistently faced by your org? Aside from financial contributions, in what aspect can the Appropriations Committee and Student Assembly support this organization? And then how the organization be impacted if the student activity fee allocation is decreased or not increased, remaining the same for the current allocation cycle? And then this last part is the creative thing that we got around is, it's essentially linked to that Excel document that I've been working on. But because we still don't know what metrics are going to be in there, and we still have to double check with Campus Activities, this says that fulfillment of all additional specific requirements for reporting financial, programming, and organizational information determined at the discretion of the current VP of Finance, which will be made a part of the final application 1 week prior to the start of the fall semester during a fee allocating year. So our intent with this is to basically put it in here now so that we have leeway this year. And then throughout the year, when we pass like another charter amendment, amend this section to be more specific in what worked this year and what we saw success with in terms of reporting. So the goal is by the end of the year to have this codified, but for the time being, because this is like such a time sensitive thing, to allow leeway in terms of like the additional specific requirements. Be it further resolved, the Student Assembly VP of Finance disseminate these additional requirements to currently funded byline orgs by no later than 1 week before the first day of the fall semester and as soon as the additional requirements are determined. Be it finally resolved, the Student Assembly adopts these changes to enhance and specify the reporting, financial, programming, and organizational information of the student activity fee final application. I guess right now, like I'll take questions on this if there are any. I sent this out a long time ago. So if anyone has like specific questions they want to ask, like now's a good time.
Any questions or motions on the floor from members? Seeing none, the chair would smile favorably on a movement to vote on this resolution?
I ask unanimous consent that the previous question is ordered and that the motion, or that the resolution, excuse me, is adopted.
The motion on the floor is to adopt this resolution by unanimous consent. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
All right. Is there any dissent to passing this resolution? Seeing no dissent, Resolution 9, amending the Student Assembly Charter, does pass. Thank you, Vice President De Lorenzo.
Yes, thank you guys. Thank you all for coming. This really helps us out. Yes, Clyde.
Just a question for Jessica. Do we need any other recorded form in order for this to be official? I know we have this sort of new proxy voting situation, and I want to make sure that we are doing that properly.
I've got all the emails you forwarded. Thank you, Clyde. And I will just add them to the record for this particular meeting.
Okay, thank you.
So just make just a reminder, since I'm here, I'm going to do a lot of reminders for you all. Reminder to make sure the finalized version of this resolution is sent to assembly@cornell.edu so we can post it and Patrick can submit it. The sooner that we get the finalized version, the sooner he can send it off to President Pollack.
Yes, and this goes for the resolutions that were passed last week too. Those are still on the website, and I assume it's probably because they haven't been forwarded to the Office of the Assemblies. So we'll work on that. Thank you again, Jessica, for the reminders. All right, with that, we will be moving on to Resolution 10, permitting committees to convene prior to the academic year.
I will share my screen.
Lovely. Thank you, Vice President.
Okay. This resolution, again, was sent out a while ago, but sorry, I have a few pop-ups that I need to get rid of here. We have four clauses in the bylaws that refer to committees first convening in the fall. These are fairly antiquated since we want to begin the work of committees earlier this summer. These need to be struck in their entirety. This is outlined in more detail. It's called the legislative memorandum. It's uploaded to the box for this meeting and was emailed out, I think, late last week or early this week by President Keel. So if anyone has any questions, please let me know. But this would just strike these four sort of very short paragraphs that aren't really in effect and just refer to committees meeting in the fall. This would allow us to begin meeting this summer. Any questions? And I can't see everyone. Okay, seeing none, I am gonna move that we end debate and that this resolution be adopted.
The motion on the floor is to end debate and that this resolution is adopted. Do we have a second for that motion?
Second.
All right. That's by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will now move into voting. All those in favor? All right. All those opposed? Representative Everett, your hand was up during the for section and the against section.
My apologies, I'm for.
Okay, lovely. That resolution does pass unanimously. Thank you, Vice President Letterman.
Thank you. I'm going to move on to the next resolution. Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Thank you. We will now be moving on to Resolution 11 to appoint committee chairs and members. This has been a significant
appeal. I think Jessica has her hand up.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. I was just looking at the agenda. Office of the Assemblies.
Thank you. So I just want to remind you all that resolutions need to be prepared in the proper formatting. That formatting is available in multiple places in the box folder. So I'll put a link here for.
Yeah, we're actually. Should
be correct.
We're actually working on transitioning our resolution format at this time.
You will want to work with us on that then,
Sounds good.
We are your administrative support. They need to be very clear so that everyone, including the president and senior administration, can see why your whereas clauses, why you are making changes that you capture in, your whereas clauses should be very clear so they capture your resolved clauses so people understand and can follow.
Sounds good.
If you want to change it, please work with the Office of the Assemblies on that.
Thank you for that. We will work with Vice President Letterman as well as you and follow up on a plan to make that happen. Thank you.
We'll update these resolutions accordingly. This is sort of experimental, but we will be sure to update our resolutions to fit the standard format. This resolution appoints members of committees, section one. There are no whereas clauses here. These are just no preambulatory clauses. This is our enacting clause, and this says who shall be appointed chairs of the relevant committees. That's section one, and section two appoints committee members. This is all based on the results of the survey, and then there's the operability clause, and there's minor adjustment, the number of committee members on something, because a number of people had requested to be on the financial aid review committee. But other than that, there is nothing significant. This is all, I think almost everyone got their first and second choice preferences. And this was uploaded on Thursday. Are there any questions about this resolution? Seeing none, I move that we end debate on this resolution, and I ask we vote by unanimous consent.
All right, there's a motion on the floor to end debate and pass this resolution by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to ending debate? Seeing none, we'll move into voting. Is there any dissent on this motion or on this resolution? Seeing no dissent, this resolution does pass unanimously. Congratulations, Vice President Letterman. Resolution 11 has passed.
Thank you. And then the third and final resolution I have to offer, which was very graciously written by our parliamentarian, was to change the, when the new standing rules were adopted, we had allowed for electronic voting, but we'd set this sort of very sort of, I think in retrospect, we had come to realize it was not a particularly effective way of doing it. We had conducted a number of electronic votes in committee. So this resolution, these are sort of the preambulatory clauses here. There are legislative intent findings and purpose. And then the actual amendments are listed here, and the new rule read, so the executive committee is allowed to determine what electronic means votes may be taken by. A majority of the executive committee needs to vote in order to send something out to be considered by electronic means. And then paragraph C is for committee business. All committees, with the exception of the appropriations committee, which this section doesn't apply to, the chairs of those committees are allowed to determine if they were vote by electronic means. And then the final clause here, the enacting final clause here, just applies retroactively and ensures that any business that was considered under this method that was adopted electronically is valid. Are there any questions on this resolution? Okay, seeing none. I move.
Of the assemblies.
Yes.
Thank you. So I want to just give some, since we are the administrative support and we capture the historical record, I want to point out a couple of things. Starting with one of the basic tenets of parliamentary procedure is to ensure that every voice is heard, and that it can be difficult to do when you are doing electronic voting. I'm thinking of email votes in particular. I know that you're saying electronic, but I just want to use email as an example. Where are people responding to the sender? Are they responding to the last person that responded? Are they replying to all? Is everyone hearing every voice and being able to be heard, conversely? If you do go this route with electronic voting, I would ask that you clarify who is responsible for tracking and tallying, managing and preserving the votes and documentation. You would, of course, get it to us in the Office of Assemblies, but who is responsible for that and how they capture the debate and the votes, that is for you to determine. I just ask that you consider that in this, in these rules.
Those are important concerns. I think I'm going to move that we table this until next week, and we can amend that to make sure, or strike some of those clauses to deal with that, because those are important concerns.
The motion on the floor is to table this. And again, representatives, the correct motion is to postpone this resolution until next week.
Yes, you're right. You've got me. To postpone this until the meeting on the 30th.
Meeting on the 30th. Thank you, Vice President Letterman. Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Representative Everett. That motion is by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to postponing this resolution until next week to address those concerns, address the concerns brought by the Office of Assemblies? Seeing no dissent, this resolution is postponed to next week. With that, we'll be moving on with the agenda to the appointments and vacancies calendar, which has nothing on it at this current time. And finally, to our 12th item, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn on the floor?
Motion to adjourn the meeting by unanimous consent.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Lovely. Is there any dissent to adjourn the meeting? Seeing no dissent, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate all of you for being here, and can't wait to see you all in 3 weeks. Or a little bit over, when we are in person at our first meeting. Looking forward to it. All right, everybody. Take care. Have a good night.